Bookie, hello there, and welcome to the Fox Den. Nistu anagok biksipidaki. I am Andrea Truejoy Fox, your host for Talks with a Fox. I'm happy you have joined me on this colorful adventure of self-discovery and lifelong learning. Throughout my journey, I have met some amazing human beings who are living inspirational and intentional lives as they fulfill their purpose and share their gifts with the world. I am excited to share these conversations with you, as well as some stories from my life as a Blackfoot woman, Nitsa Tabiaki, and as a teacher and artist who is navigating through this exciting and beautiful world we live in, challenges and all. So grab a tea or coffee and get ready to feel inspired as you reflect on your own exciting journey and your connection to the world. We are in this together, and there is so much for us to learn and share. Let's do this. Be sure to stop by our Instagram page at Talks with the Fox Podcast and our Facebook page as well at Talks with the Fox Podcast, and of course, our Buzzsprout website. And that way, you can always keep up with all the updates. It means so much to me that you are on this journey with us. Bookie, hello everybody, and welcome to Talks with a Fox podcast. I am your host, Andrea Truejoy Fox. You also know me as Biksipidaki, which is my Blackfoot name. And I am here today with a wonderful, lovely guest who I have recently connected with. I am very much filled with joy to have her on as a guest and to be connected with her. She has so much knowledge that she is going to be sharing with us. And this is part of the Motherhood series. And I couldn't have come up with a more appropriate and special guest who is going to speak on her areas of expertise with us today. I want to welcome Cami Goldhammer. She is the founder of Hummingbird Family Services. And part of Hummingbird Family Services includes a program called Hummingbird Indigenous Doulas. And that's what we are going to get to talk with Cami about today. This work not only interests me in regards to the podcast, but also on a personal note, as many of you know, I am preparing for motherhood myself. So I'm so excited to talk with Cami. I want to share with you some of Cami's background here. She has such an impressive area of expertise in all the work that she is doing to support women, support mothers. It's just so amazing. So Cami J. Goldhammer is a clinical social worker, lactation consultant, and full spectrum Indigenous doula. With her MSW, Master of Social Work, her LICSW, IBCLC, and we'll get her to clarify those amazing credentials for us. She is Sisseton Wahpeton. Did I say it right, Cami?
Sisseton Wahpeton, yeah.
Sisseton Wahpeton.
Yeah. Good English, a good English pronunciation.
Wonderful. And Cami is the founder and chair of the Native American Breastfeeding Coalition of Washington. She is also a founding mother and president-elect of the National Association of Professional and Peer Lactation Supporters of Color. In 2013, she became Washington State's first Native American, IBCLC. She is a member of the Center for Social Inclusion's First Food Racial Equity Cohort. She worked as a campaign director with Moms Rising, working to bring paid family and medical leave to Washington State, which was signed into law in July 2017. Wow, that is amazing. In fall 2017, Cami launched the Indigenous Breastfeeding Counselor Certification, so that's short for IBC, which is a 45-hour foundational lactation and counselor program for those that identify as Native Indigenous First Nations. In November 2018, Cami, along with Kimberly Moore Sales, who's Diné, were the first Native Americans to be elected to the United States Breastfeeding Committee Board of Directors. Both were reelected for a second term in the fall of 2020. In April 2021, she left her role as program manager for United Indians of All Tribes Daybreak Star Doulas, which she also developed, Our Strong Fathers. She is now putting all of her effort into a new nonprofit called Hummingbird Indigenous Family Services, of which, as I mentioned earlier, Hummingbird Indigenous Doulas is a foundational program. She is a national leader on topics of racial equity and first food justice. Cammie lives in South Seattle with her husband, Eric, and two daughters, Dylan and Jojo, and Bougie Res Dog Memphis. I love it. Wow. I'm just amazed that you have made time for us today, Cammie. And I'm so excited to talk with you and for all of our listeners and mothers or soon to be mothers or those contemplating motherhood and women in general to be able to be part of this conversation as you share everything that you know about being a doula and all that beautiful, important work. Welcome, Cammie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am so happy to be here. Yes, I would love to do introduce myself in Dakota, if that's okay. I've been working really hard at reclaiming my language, and so I apologize in advance for any mispronunciations or using the wrong word. Hopefully my ancestors forgive me for still learning. So
beautiful.
So we slumpa washte mitaki api on petu de chante washte anape chuza pie. Kami goldhammer maki api a. Damakota, Sisituan Wapetuan Hamacha, Ate Waye Clark Olson, Etiapi, Kaa Ina Waye, Cindy Harper, Etiapi Ye, Kunsi Marlene Peterson, Etiapi, and Unchi Marta Miller, Etiapi, Seattle Edwati. So I just said good afternoon, everybody, my relatives. I come to you with a good heart and open hands. My name is Cammie Goldhammer. I'm Dakota. My tribe is Sisseton Wahpeton. I'm the daughter of Clark and Cindy and the granddaughter of Marlene and Marta. And I live in the occupied territory of the Duwamish people, also known as Seattle in the United States. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And what a beautiful language and introduction of yourself, Cammie. Just wow. So beautiful to hear our Indigenous languages. Yes. And I know your ancestors and your families are proud and your community. They're so proud of you and the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So Cammie, I just have so many questions to ask you. But first of all, let's start with the basics. What is a doula? Can you tell us what a doula is? Because I know some people are still becoming newly acquainted with that term, even though the work that you do and many other women who are doulas have been doing this for many, 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 many years. But what is a doula and how does a doula differ from a midwife?
Sure. No, it's a great question. And you'd be surprised at how many folks when they call looking for a doula don't even know what a doula is. You know, they're just like, someone told me I need one. So the first way for me to describe a doula is in the Dakota or Lakota language, our word for a doula is duin, which is actually the same word we use for auntie. And I think that that really embodies what a doula is, you know, especially when we're talking about Indigenous doulas, is we fulfill the traditional role of an auntie in a lot of ways. A more clinical definition of a doula, or a more mainstream definition of a doula, would be a non-medical person, so a non-clinical person that provides unconditional, uninterrupted, continuous mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual support to a person during their perinatal period. There's different types of doulas out there. As everyone heard, I'm a full spectrum doula, and I run a full spectrum doula program. And what that means is that we serve families throughout the perinatal period, regardless of the result or of of the plan for their pregnancy. So we support people in pregnancy. We support people in terminating their pregnancies who are maybe experiencing pregnancy loss. And then, of course, a majority of the families we serve are actually there for support through labor and delivery and then postpartum. We, you know, in my program, we also support people who are trying to conceive babies. You know, maybe they're not quite pregnant yet, but they need some of that auntie love throughout the conception process, right? So it really varies. But the gist of it is that we love on families and we love on parents, and we're really there for them, in whatever way they need. The difference between a doula and a midwife is actually quite a bit. Many midwives are actually doulas, but an overwhelming majority of doulas are not midwives. So midwife is a medical professional. In most cases, there's certainly, community-based midwives that maybe didn't go through a mainstream medical training, you know, or through college or something like that. They may have learned through their community, had that knowledge passed down to them from generation to generation. But overall, that's actually one of the many things that many of our communities lost with colonialism. And, you know, so we don't have as many of those traditional midwives, right, who have learned that way. And so most of them are now, you know, maybe nurse midwives, or we have community-based midwives who just go to school for midwifery. So they provide medical support. They have the training to deliver a baby. They have the training to touch people in very intimate ways that, you know, a doula, I would never, for example, as a doula, check the dilation of a parent, right? Like that is not I never you know, when I do that, where a midwife, that they're trained to do those things. They have the emergency, the knowledge in case of emergency, and of course, just their scope of practice is much broader because they're medical professionals. So midwives catch babies, right? They support families in that way. Similar role as an OBGYN, but of course, even quite different there too. And doulas, we just love on families and support them through that process.
First of all, it's beautiful that you know the word in your language and you can connect to it on that cultural realm of things. But also, I love how you brought up the auntie. Mm-hmm. Many, if not all of us Indigenous nations, can relate to the important role of aunties and how we, even the child rearing, how involved all of our women are and were. And I love that because also I think of women who haven't physically had children themselves, but have raised many children in their families and in their communities. And, you know, I always like to acknowledge that I was an auntie first before I became a mother. And it is such a special and sacred role. And I love how you tie that into the teachings of being a doula. And that emotional and nurturing part of the work is so important. You know, I really respect the work that you do. And I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, I think that, you know, thinking about our communities prior to colonization, we were really built, I mean, kind of universally, because I think of motherhood or parenting as really a universal cultural practice, right? It was never something wherever you live that was hidden, right? Or that you couldn't do out in the open, right? Nowadays, so much of, and I'm talking kind of mainstream culture, right? I mean, because of course there's some of us that don't practice this way, but so much of being a parent, being a mom, a dad, or someone that chooses a different term, parenting term, is in secret, right? Like when we're scolding our children, we or we talk quieter, move away from the group so people can't hear that. Or, you know, when we nurse our babies, we have to go in private, right? I mean, there's like all these things that we've really removed parenting from our, you know, everyday life. And so for many of us, when we become parents, we've really only experienced our own parents parenting us, right? Which just goes completely against like the way our communities were, you know, traditionally or prior to colonization or first contact or however we want to frame that, right? And so I think of, you know, when we think of the traditional role of a doula, like, yeah, the word doula didn't exist, but there absolutely were doulas in our communities, right? And that was your family, that was your sisters and your sister-in-laws and your mothers and your aunties. And when we were, you know, preparing for childbirth, they knew everything to do, right? They knew how to support us. They knew what to make us. They knew what medicines to bring. They knew when to harvest that. They knew what food to cook right after we had our babies, right? Like all of that knowledge was there because the culture supported it, right? Like parenting was just was this central part of it. And so when we lost that, right, through hundreds of years of colonialism and an active effort to break up Indigenous families, right? Those were the things that we lost, you know, and it's something that like I find, and honestly, I had never even thought about it that way until I learned about gorillas in captivity, because we had a baby gorilla that was born here in Seattle, and the mom had the baby and walked away from it, and the baby ended up being hand raised. And I started learning, you know, I started looking more into that. I'm like, that's so weird. Like, how does a gorilla mom walk away from her baby? And I learned that gorillas in captivity in general don't mother because they don't know how to do it. They weren't raised in it.
Wow.
You know, they never saw that, where if they were in their natural habitat, they would be, you know, in, you know, have these trees filled with auntie gorillas, and they'd be nursing each other's babies and scolding each other's babies and feeding each other's babies. And, you know, by the time they had their babies, they knew exactly what to do because it's all they had known to be true. Right. And so when you remove a gorilla from that environment where, you know, one baby is born every 20 years, how are they supposed to know? Right. Like, how are they supposed to know to do it? And so, yeah. So the work that I do as a doula, and a lactation consultant, you know, I really, or the work I do in supporting lactation and healthy birth practices or reproductive health for families is really about reclaiming it as a cultural practice, right? And a traditional practice.
I love that so much. It is now more than ever truly needed in our communities, and to bring that back, that, like you said, reclaim that and empower ourselves as women and each other, that sense of community and connection is, it's so important. And we are missing that for, you know, many of us who didn't have that knowledge or don't have that knowledge. But that's the beauty of the work that you do, and you are helping to build a larger community in the women that you work with, the training that you provide, the teachings, and also I'm thinking of the mothers themselves who get to access Hummingbird Indigenous doulas. I know they're taking away so much from what it is you're sharing, whether they should feel so inspired to go on and become a doula themselves, or the knowledge that they're acquiring from you and your team, and then they're going to teach their daughters or their nieces or their granddaughters. I'm just so intrigued by this. I want to know, Cami, what inspired you to become a doula?
Yeah. For me, it was having a baby. You know, okay. Like a lot of people come to this work prior to having children. Prior to having my kids, I was definitely like always wanted to be a mom. It is not all I ever wanted to be though, right? Like I wasn't that type of a mom wannabe. You know, I was like, I always knew I'd have other work that I did. I'm very committed to my community and community work, and that was something that's always been really important to me. So, I've, you know, I worked as a clinical social worker, as a therapist for Native families, and did a lot of work around like reunification or preventing removal of children with the child welfare system. So I was like, a therapist that really worked on attachment and bonding between families. And so I loved that work. I was really young and naive. You know, now I think back on it and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sure some of these parents were so annoyed at this like 24-year-old, you know, like just fresh out of grad school. Like, I can tell you how to parent, right? Like, and I know nothing. But it was a great learning experience. And I always lead with love. And I find that as long as I'm, you know, have good intentions and lead with love, like it's okay. Right. Like, even if I make mistakes, it's okay. So anyhow, I've been working with young families and it was time for me to begin my process, right, and becoming a parent. My husband and I always knew we wanted to have kids and so we did. And I had my daughter, she's 12. So I had her in 2009 and I was 28 years old when she was born. So I was a little old for, you know, a lot of our community, like definitely in my family, like most of the people in my family had children much younger, you know, than that. But we were 28 and I felt I was pretty informed. I had made some pretty important decisions around being a mom. Like I, you know, planned my pregnancy and I chose a midwife for, you know, my care, but I was still using a hospital-based midwife. And I didn't think much about how I would feed my baby. I remember not really thinking about breastfeeding, but I also, you know, I didn't do anything to prepare for breastfeeding, you know, as far as like, a class or, you know, I think I was pretty ambivalent, around that. And I had a challenging birth that didn't go the way I planned. So my birth ended with a cesarean section, which was, you know, pretty devastating to me. But my postpartum, I really loved mothering. I mean, I really, really loved being a mom and I didn't expect that, you know, like I knew I would like it. And I was pretty excited about it. Like I said, I was very intentional about getting pregnant. But I didn't quite expect to love it the way that I did. And the way I describe my love is that for the first time, felt very connected to my ancestors and the women that came before me in a way that I hadn't been before, you know, and I don't know if others can identify with this. I've heard other, like Christian folks talk about this or religious folks that say like, I just want to see a sign from God. Like, will they just send me a sign, right? Like that kind of thing. And I remember feeling that way around like, I know my ancestors are here. I know they're taking care of me. I know they're watching over me. But like, how do I know? You know, like I don't feel it. Like I just kind of, I don't know. Like you have people tell you that, but it just was something. And then when I had my daughter, I saw them. I mean, they were there, right? Like I saw them with my eyes and they were watching us and they were happy. That was the thing that stood out to me is they were smiling. And I knew that me mothering my daughter and breastfeeding my daughter and, you know, and parenting her the way I was made them happy, which to me meant that what I was doing was healing for them. Right. And just, yeah. So it was a really formative experience for me to become a mom. And I just started learning more as I had friends having babies or like the, you know, people in my midwifery group, I was seeing them really struggle in a lot of ways, right? Whether that was with, you know, postpartum depression or anxiety or feeding problems, just, you know, challenges with like, how do you do this? Isolation, right? Feeling alone, being far away from their moms, or maybe their moms had passed on and mm-hmm. they were really longing for that. And I just really felt like there had to be a better way, right? Like there had to be ways to support people postpartum, right? Because I'm, you know, keep in mind, I'm a therapist too, right? So I'm like seeing this happen. And so I'm just like, there has to be something. So kind of to make a really long story short, because this, it really could be its own very long story, like its own 3-hour episode. Yeah. but to make, you know, a long story short is that I saw a need for my community, right? Like I just kind of was like, I want better for my community. I want better for families, for Native moms. And, you know, when we're bringing babies into the world and, you know, breastfeeding was kind of my intro to doula work because I still am a pretty passionate lactation advocate, lactivist, whatever you want to, you know, breastfeeding advocate. There's lots of different words that you can use, but, that was, you know, kind of my intro into the broader birth world. And here in Seattle, we live in a very birth friendly community, a lot of doulas here. And so that kind of was my in to the community of like that doulas were a thing. I will say when I had my daughter, I had no idea what a doula was. It never crossed my mind. You know, like I didn't know what one was. I had never heard of the term. It was nothing for me. But after, you know, the first couple months to year after I had my daughter, I started learning more about those supports. And so, the first training I did was actually in 2011, which was a postpartum doula training. Cause that was really what I want. I'm like postpartum. I want new families, right? They've already had the baby, and supporting them. And so I took that training, you know, almost 10 years ago now. And, it was great. I learned a lot. I took it through a mainstream doula agency, here that's located here in Seattle. And I learned a lot, but nothing about serving my people. Right? Nothing about serving my community. I learned nothing about traditional practices. I didn't learn any foods that we ate, right? Like that kind of stuff. It was a very white-centered education. So I say like, same with my lactation training. Like I learned how to serve white people, you know, like they taught us how to do that. That was my first little intro. And, you know, for a long time, my work was largely around lactation support and supporting people postpartum around getting breastfeeding going. And, you know, from a traditional perspective, right? So really looking at lactation and breastfeeding, the breast milk is our first food. It's our first traditional food. It's the first thing that all of our babies should eat, you know, for the first 6 months of their life, you know, type thing. And then they eat our traditional family foods that we eat at our table, you know, that kind of thing. And so, So then several years ago, we had passed a levy. I don't know what the equivalent would be in Canada, you know, or in the First Nations governments, but a levy is kind of like a thing that, well, it might be the same word, but voters pass a vote to contribute some of their taxes to a certain project, you know, like a certain project. So there could be like a school levy, right? Where people say, we'll pay an extra $12 a year to fund this school, or libraries, right? So we had a levy that was passed in my local county, King County, called Best Starts for Kids. And my doula program, Daybreak Star Doulas, which I'm no longer at, my whole staff, we all moved over to Hummingbird and are building Hummingbird Indigenous Doulas. But we received that grant. And so that's when I started doing, well, I had been doing some more birth doula work for a year, you know, a couple of years prior to that. But that's when I started getting into kind of program management and creating an Indigenous doula program, and, you know, kind of a one of its kind. There's some of our tribal communities have doula programs. I know several First Nations communities have doula programs, but we were really the first urban, you know, like urban Native doula program in the country. I think. I mean, hopefully there's, hopefully I'm right about that. I mean, I'm fairly certain we are. I do not mean to offend anyone if I'm incorrect in that. But
when I Googled your name, you know, that's what popped up. That's actually when I Googled Indigenous doulas, your name popped up. I just really appreciated the perspectives that you shared. I was thinking about, okay, I would love to talk to an Indigenous woman who is a doula, and where am I going to find her?
Yeah. So, you know, our program is awesome. And there are, I mean, there's so many incredible Indigenous doulas, and I really would still love to, you know, like connect you with more, but, you know, there really is this resurgence in our tribal communities around all of our traditional practices, right? I mean, we see this across Indian country, but definitely around reclaiming those birth, you know, those first traditional practices, right? The ones of childbirth and feeding our babies. And so there's an incredibly active, diverse, thriving Indigenous birth community on Turtle Island, you know, that's just really exciting to see, you know. And there was definitely a time, you know, 10 years ago or something like that, where, I mean, if you were doing that work, you thought you were the only one, you know, there was no one else doing it. You would have not been able to find anyone, you know, you're just like one of, in a sea of all these other groups, you know, type thing. And now, you know, we have an Indigenous birth keepers group that is so active, and you know, you could go there and say like, I need an Indigenous doula in Kansas City, Missouri, and there's going to be someone there, you know, like there might be someone there. And so, yeah, it's really exciting to be a part of that and to see that, you know, and everyone's played their role in it, everybody, right? Like in this work. So it's great.